started last week on the second point on this, and that was concerning knowledge in regards to the renewing of our minds and how important knowledge is or how it is needed. The root word knowledge, basically it's from the root word to know. We looked at it was to perceive, to ascertain, to know by observing and reflecting. Perception, discernment, to know by experiencing, to distinguish. Knowledge is something that we have to acquire, that we have to obtain. And it's something that we started looking at last week. That's something that we have to be taught or we have to be instructed concerning knowledge. We looked at Isaiah, the 7th chapter, in verse 16, concerning the children must be taught and instructed. Before the child should know to refuse the evil and choose the good, in Isaiah, the 7th chapter, verse 16. Setting a time frame that the child was young and that there was a certain point in that child's life it would not know good from evil. And we had looked at that a little bit last week in looking at the children are innocent. And then we also looked at the passage that some of the older also lose that knowledge. They lose that capacity. And they end up with either dementia, Alzheimer's, or whatever. They become incapacitated. That knowledge is also gone. So there's just a window there that we looked at between a child and between an elder adult that you have to obey the gospel. When you have your faculties about you, when you have your understanding, your comprehension. And that is a small window when you look at it. There's things that can happen in life that can alter that. Of course, we're aware of that. Strokes, head injuries, so forth, that can alter that, that could render one, that they lose their sense of ability to understand, to discern, and to comprehend, and then that rules them out of the gospel also, as far as being able to obey at that point in time, because then they are not capable. So we looked at, during that point in time, when you have the knowledge and when you have that ability to be able to understand and comprehend that knowledge, then that's the time that you need to obey the gospel. Because if you put it off, then we don't know what lays beyond. So we looked at children. They've got to be taught and instructed. When you look at Proverbs, the 21st chapter, and verse 11, Proverbs 21:11, the writer says there, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So this knowledge comes about by instruction on that. And that's where we left off last week. Paul spoke about this acquisition of knowledge and how important it is when you look at Romans, the 7th chapter. Romans, the 7th chapter. The 7th chapter in verse 7, Paul said, but what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The illustration that he's bringing about here is this acquisition of knowledge. You don't know that something is wrong unless it is stated or revealed that it's wrong. Now, there are some things that I think that the Lord puts within us that it is a moral law, so to speak, because Paul spoke about that also, that the Gentiles had a law unto themselves, and that that was not contained in the law, but it was the same as the law, the Mosaic law. And there were certain things, if you remember, in going to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, concerning the sin that was there within the congregation, Paul said it's something that's not even named among the Gentiles, that the heathens or the Gentiles did not even practice such a thing as the fornication that had taken place. So I do believe that within a person that God has instilled some concepts, a little bit of right and wrong, because we know somewhat basic there something may be wrong. But for the most part, I think we have to be taught. We have to be taught the law to know exactly what is right and what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. And that comes from God's Word. And that's what Paul was saying here. He wouldn't have known not to lust if the law said not to covet. He wouldn't have known that. How do you know what laws would be acceptable here and that you have to abide by versus the laws in another country? Could you go to another country, a foreign country, and abide by the laws you're used to here and find out that you violated one of the laws over there and say, well, that's, you know, that's not how we do it over there? You're still guilty of what? You're still guilty of breaking the law, but you've done it because you had no what? No knowledge of it. Okay. So it's the same here. Children have to be taught from an age concerning what the law is and have that knowledge of that law. The agent that produces this knowledge is the law of God, which is the truth. That's the agent, is the law of God, and the law of God is truth. And that is basically learning the truth. In Romans, the 3rd chapter, verse 20, Paul said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. He makes a statement, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. How do I know that I have sinned? How do I know that I have transgressed God's law? Is it just something that I guess at, or is it something that has to be learned? Is it something that you have to be taught, that what you have done is transgressed the law of God? And that's what Paul is saying, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. With that law there, with God directing what is right and what is wrong, then you know what is wrong or what is sin. And is that not what we do with children? What does it say concerning children? Bring them up, train them how? Okay, what does that mean in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Okay, by teaching them God's... Huh? Okay, you're teaching them God's Word, and in such, then you're teaching them morally what's right and wrong, and also in regards to God. Okay, what's right and wrong. So it's something that has to be taught. Okay, hearing the words of God produce knowledge. Okay, when you hear the words, it produces knowledge. If you would turn to Numbers, the 24th chapter. Numbers 24, in verse 16. He hath said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into trance, but having his eyes open. Here, what's the process that he talks about? Which heard what? Heard the words of who? Okay, heard the words of God, and then what? Okay, he knew the knowledge of the Most High. That was after what point? Okay, after he heard the words of God. When he heard them. Okay. Now, there's more to it also, we'll see here in a little bit, more to it than just hearing. Okay. There's more to it than just hearing. Because in hearing, you have to be able to discern, to know, and to do. Okay. But here, hearing the words of God produces knowledge. Okay. When you look at Jonah, the 3rd chapter, what can you tell me about Jonah? What do we know? What do we know about Jonah? Huh? Okay, he what? Okay. Who came to Jonah? Okay, God came to Jonah, and what did he tell Jonah to do? To go to Nineveh. For what purpose? Okay, to warn the people. What was Nineveh?
City of Gentiles.
Okay, it was the capital of what?
Babylon.
It was Babylon or Assyria? It was the capital city. Okay, I'll let you look that one up, see which one it was. Okay, Nineveh was the capital city. Okay, and in that, with that he was to warn the people concerning to cry concerning what? In chapter 1 and verse 2, cry against it for what? For their wickedness is come up to me, before me.
Okay.
So basically, what was Jonah supposed to do? Okay. He was going to preach to them. Okay. In that.
He said, and he said, he went there to tell them if they didn't obey the Lord, he was going to destroy that whole country.
Okay. Within his teaching to them, and in this telling them concerning their wickedness,
yes,
he would who have had to explain what? Concerning their wickedness. He would have had to teach them and give them knowledge concerning what?
What they were doing wrong.
Okay, what they were doing wrong based upon what?
God's word.
Based upon God's word. He had to tell them that. Okay? With Nineveh. And when you look at the fourth chapter, so he was told in chapter 3 and verse 2, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Okay? They had to receive knowledge. They had to receive instruction concerning their wickedness. They had to receive the truth. They had to have that knowledge being presented to them of where they were wrong. In the fourth chapter of Jonah, in verse 11, God says, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city? And how did he describe the inhabitants there concerning that city? Wherein there are more than what? Pardon?
More than
120,000 people that what? Okay, what does it mean that they couldn't discern between their left hand and their right hand? What does that mean?
I figured if they had never had nobody to teach them the word, the truth, whatever.
Okay. They didn't know the law, so to speak, of what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. And so therefore, even though I'm sure these were smart people, it says here that in this sense they couldn't discern between their right hand and their left hand. And the reason they couldn't do that was basically because they didn't have what?
Knowledge.
They didn't have the knowledge. And Jonah's position that God was sending him to was to do what? To give them that knowledge. Okay? That was Jonah's part, to give him that knowledge. I believe it was Nahum who also went the second time, did he not? Am I right on that, Donnie? Nahum went the second time to Nineveh because they repented and got off course again, and Nahum went again. I believe it was Nahum that went to the city of Nineveh again, and this time they didn't repent. Go ahead. Did you find out?
You were right. It was, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. Babylon was a city, not a country, but it was a city of Babylonia, so that's right.
Yeah.
The capital city of Assyria.
And Babylonia took over Assyria. When Assyria fell, Babylonia took them over. And so that you get a little complication there, too, because they took over that territory when Assyria fell. But they didn't know between their right hand and their left hand. The knowledge was lacking. And Jonah was needed to give and instruct them in that knowledge. And that was his job. The Levites had the responsibility of teaching the people of Israel. And that responsibility in teaching them was to impart unto them knowledge also. Okay? When you look at 2 Chronicles, the 17th chapter, 2 Chronicles, the 17th chapter, and verse 9. It's concerning the Levites who went out when Joseph had his ruling. And in verse 9 it says, and they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. The Levites had the book of the law, went out throughout the whole cities, and they taught the people. And they were trying to give them this knowledge again that may have escaped them, or refreshing them concerning the knowledge, but they taught them. And part of that reasoning is in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. When you look at Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, we we again have where it's kind of going back to Jerusalem and being restored to a certain point. In the 8th chapter, you have those people, the Levites, in verse 7 and 8. The Levites went out and caused the people to do what? To understand the law. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Why would people need that? Why would people need that? Okay, to turn to God. Would you say that it's probably because they didn't have that discernment? They did not have that knowledge? It wasn't miraculously imparted to them. It's something that's not that we're born with. It's something that we have to learn. And so the Levites had to read to them, cause them to understand the law. So they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense, or more or less the emphasis of it, or however you want to word it, and cause them to understand the reading. Can you name me one person in the 8th chapter of Acts that didn't understand what he was reading? Okay. He had the knowledge. No? He didn't have the knowledge, did he? He was reading, and what was his inquiry? Okay. And how did he receive that knowledge? Okay. Philip taught him. Okay. Yes.
That's just like children today. You've got children can read through books after books after books, and then they don't comprehend the thing they read. That kind of sounds like the shape that the eunuch was in. He could read the book of Isaiah, but he had no comprehension of what it was talking about.
Right. And it was also a messianic prophecy, too, so that would have raised some questions in his mind concerning who it was, you know, who's this talking to? Because when you go back to where it talks about before the child would know between right and wrong in Isaiah chapter 7, that's a messianic prophecy concerning the virgin birth of Christ. But in that place there, in its context, it's talking about a child that would rise up in that time, right then, that what it's talking about, a child born of a virgin in that time that would rise up, and, you know, before it knew to choose good or evil, okay, that this would happen or that would happen. So you have those prophecies in there that were kind of confusing also. But the point is that we've got to be taught. And not only that, but if persons have to be taught, then what by necessity must there also be? Okay, a teacher, someone that teaches. We need Jonas. We need Levites. Okay, that's what we need. That's what their responsibilities was, to teach these people concerning, to give them this knowledge concerning God's law. Same with the Levites. They went about teaching. In 2 Chronicles, the 30th chapter, we see the result of the Levites going about and in doing their function. In the 30th chapter of 2 Chronicles, in verse 22, and Hezekiah spoke comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord, and they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings, making confession to God of their fathers. The people were taught, they were instructed in the good knowledge of the Lord, and that was their work that they had to do. Okay? Now, one of the questions I had, and I'll just go ahead and do it here because, you know, what is the work of mature Christians?
To teach.
Okay. To teach. That just be it. To teach what? Who?
You said gospel and law. Clark Thomas studied that the other day.
Okay. The work of mature Christians. Okay. The work of mature Christians. How would you define a mature Christian?
Somebody that's well knowledge of the Bible, because some grasp it quicker than others.
Okay. How do... Go ahead.
Grounded in the Word.
Grounded in the Word. How do we get that knowledge? Okay. So we see the importance then of what it means to study. Can you see where the Levites haphazard in their service? Do you think they were haphazard in their study of the Word in the Old Testament Scriptures and the Law of Moses? Do you think that they were? What was the purpose of the reason why a king had to write the law?
So he could have it before him and read it.
Okay. Was that just basically it, just so he had it before him and could read it, or?
That's how he was going to know what to do.
Okay. What happens when you sit there and you copy it and write it down? I mean, you're reading it also, aren't you? Sentence by sentence, word by word. And it's going to stick with you a little bit better. And you can't say, oh, well, I didn't know that. My scribe put that in there and I missed that. You're going to know it word by word. Okay? A mature Christian is one who studies, that puts a lot of patience, effort into the study, so that he will be able to spread the knowledge of God to others. You had the example of Jonah and the Levites. Who did that? And I'm sure they were well versed in it. How was it that Paul was able to defeat those in disputes with them? How was he able to do that? How was he able to easily show his brothers in nationality, the other Jews, that they were missing the mark? Okay, he'd been well taught. And he put a lot of effort. How much zeal did he have? He had a lot of zeal in it. Okay, so that is more or less a purpose that we have, is to teach people. The purpose of this knowledge is because there must be a difference put between two things. And can you imagine what those two things are? Turn to Leviticus, the 10th chapter. Leviticus, the 10th chapter. And this is what the purpose of knowledge is for. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. That ye may put difference, that ye may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. What is the purpose of knowledge then? When I enter into God's Word and study it for the purpose of acquiring knowledge, what is the purpose or the reason why I'm doing that? Just to know God's law? Just to be able to recite God's law? What is the purpose?
To do it.
To do it? What does he say here in Leviticus 10:10? Okay, the only way that I'm going to know to be able to distinguish between what is holy and unholy and what is unclean and clean is by doing what?
Studying.
Having that knowledge, or else how would I know? Same way with Paul. Paul said, if the law hadn't said, don't covet, how would I know not to do it? Okay? The only way that we are going to be able to distinguish between holy and unholy in our life is by having this knowledge. Now, how important is it in getting this knowledge that we get the correct knowledge? Okay. Because what can happen?
False knowledge.
Okay. False knowledge, that I could think that something is holy or be taught something that is holy when it is probably the other way around. I could be taught something that is unholy, thinking that it's holy. And then what position does that put me in?
Well, if you teach it to somebody else, you become a false teacher. It's like the blind leading the blind.
Okay. Looking more toward my life, what position would that put me in then if I have this knowledge that I'm thinking, you know, going back to lesson one where we become our own source of authority, we become our own wisdom, then what happens? Okay, I place myself in jeopardy with God because what He has declared as holy, I'm declaring as, well, it's unholy. Okay, so it's very, very important. And that's the purpose of this knowledge. So hopefully we can see how important it is that we get the correct knowledge and make sure that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt so that we can have that difference there between what is holy and what is unholy. Because that's all that matters to God. What was the one statement that God said? Be ye what? Holy. Why? Because He is holy. Okay? When Jesus said, be without spot or blemish, that we be found that way when He comes again, that means we need to be what? Holy. Okay? When you look at Hebrews, the 5th chapter, he kind of gives this same illustration, the writer does. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There you have like one who is acquiring knowledge, a child or whatever, that's unskillful. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to do what? To discern both good and evil. Okay? Good and evil. Can we discern that? Okay, there's no reason why we can't discern between good and evil. Where did all this start, this knowledge of good and evil? In the Garden of Eden. We already looked at that, didn't we? Man put his hand forth and took what? What did he partake of? Okay. He partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, that's what he partook of. Okay, so we see that the difference between holy and unholy, between evil and good, is the purpose of knowledge. And in this having the knowledge, you know, by having this knowledge of good and evil, then that requires or forces upon us a what in our life. When we are presented with the two,
choice.
We've got to make a choice. Okay. We have to make a choice between good or between evil. We have that knowledge. I know this is good. I know this is bad. I've got to make that choice. Okay? And that falls squarely upon who?
Self.
Okay, upon self. Okay. There's the free moral agent. We have the choice to make. Okay? Doesn't mean that we are ignorant. Okay? Because if we have that knowledge, we've been taught that knowledge, then what? We become accountable. So you also see our part is we're out trying to teach others and imparting this knowledge to them of what's right and wrong. At that point in time, when they have that knowledge presented to them, then they become what? They become accountable. Okay? They become accountable. Why is knowledge so important then? Okay? You could be lost without it. In the spiritual sense, not talking about, of course, we're not talking about the worldly knowledge or nothing like that. But in the spiritual knowledge, yes, that's the gravity of the situation. Without that knowledge, we could be lost eternally. Okay? It instructs us. It informs us. It makes known to us. Remember, that's a definition of knowledge, to know, to perceive. Okay? What is the avenue of how we gain or acquire knowledge then? What's the avenue?
Study.
Okay. We've got to read. We've got to understand. We've got to comprehend. It involves discernment. Now, during this time as we're training, how does that come into play with our brothers and our sisters? How does that come into play with our brothers and sisters? Or does it?
It does. I study at home and I learn a lot. But then when I come and hear you, I learn more. So every time I'm sitting here, your knowledge
imparted to me. So as my knowledge grows, then I should impart it to somebody else.
We help each other. It's just a growing process among all of us.
It teaches us to be long-suffering, patient, because we understand that not everyone is on the same level with their knowledge. They're not at the same place. So not everyone knows what you know,
It shows the importance of what? Bible study. It shows the importance of being here tonight. It shows the importance of being a Bible study Sunday morning. I can sit there and I can read and I can understand and I can comprehend and I can discern, but I also could be what?
Wrong.
I could be wrong and I could not have a fuller understanding. I could be missing it. I could limit myself.
It deepens your understanding when you hear other people.
Right. I mean, I could limit myself, which, you know, then when I limit myself, it's like, if I limit myself, then I've limited other people that I talk to because I won't be able to do that. So it just shows that, okay, that I don't want to limit myself in that, okay? We do have to grow, but it shows the importance of helping one another. That's our purpose. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, what does it say? Till we all come to what? Huh?
Knowledge of the truth.
Okay, and also to what? To the full, until we all come to the full stature of who? Talking about the maturity, till we all come to the full stature of who? Of Christ. Not just certain ones, until we what? The work of the body to edify itself is for all to come to the full stature of who? Of Christ. What does that mean to come to the full stature?
Just like Him.
Okay. To have His attributes. To have His character. Okay. That's what it means to come to the full stature. How do we gain that? By getting this knowledge and being able to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. Okay. Before we start as a child of God, where are we in relation to knowledge? Where are we in relation to knowledge?
Pretty limited.
Okay. And that's something that we must recognize. We are limited. And we will always be limited, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but we'll always be limited in our knowledge of God, and we won't have the totality of it because you can never mine this scripture and get everything out of it in your 70 or 80 years. You never can. Because when you get to studying it, you see and find that, oh, something new has happened. You have a different... And as you say, Bernice, Ray has thoughts, Donnie has thoughts, Lowell has thoughts, Nathan has thoughts. We all have thoughts. And those helping, and it's like, I hadn't thought about that. But that makes sense. So that's how we grow. Okay? But we have to have that knowledge. And the knowledge is important. Okay? That's where we'll start next week. We need this knowledge because we don't have it. We don't have it. And we need it. Okay? Any question or comment?